This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Ian Rappaport on Brandon Ayuk. Remember that name?
Of course.
Apparently available again now that the Niners have, and even before they had officially dealt Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk's name out there and available. He got hurt last year. He got paid last year. Should the Patriots be in?
Yeah. They should be in on all these guys.
It's another name to throw
they
on the list when we're talking
in.
About all these receivers.
Disappointing, right? But last year we spent a lot of time talking about where Brandon Ayuk ranks. Who do you like better? He's had a better career probably than T. Higgins. Now, you might like T. Higgins more. That's fine.
That's a good one.
Don't you think?
Who do I prefer out of those two? I mean, right now, because Higgins is healthy, I think I'd say Higgins, but I would have said, if I know Ayuk's healthy, I would say Ayuk.
I think for the next 5 years, I'd rather have T. Higgins, but for what they've each done their first 5 years of their career, I would say advantage Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. He's had 2,000-yard seasons. He's had...
I mean, his year last... The 2023 year, what did he finish with?
75 for 1,342 yards and 7 touchdowns.
I mean, Higgins hasn't done
second-team All-Pro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was really good. But like we were talking about with Deebo and McCaffrey and really every single player who played for the 49ers last year, it was just a mess. You know, Ayuk only played in 7 games. It was a slow start, the whole weird thing with the offseason. But I'm not going to just take those 7 games. So
Honestly, he's their Jeremy Swayman.
Yeah, maybe.
Ayuk is their Swayman. I mean, he's been much more productive prior to getting paid, but he's their Swayman.
I feel like your answer should probably be the same. If you wanted Ayuk last year, then I think you should still want him, even though it was a disappointing 7-game season for him. I don't think it should completely change. Whereas if you were out on him, then after last year, yeah, you're still out. Like you're certainly not back in.
Well, and now you know what it takes contract-wise with him because now he's been paid.
Yeah.
Where before that was up in the air.
But this at least goes to show you there might be eight to ten receivers who you could make a case for that would come in and it immediately help Drake May, immediately help the team, would push everybody else down the depth chart a little bit. And none of them are perfect, hence why they're all possibly available. But, I'd add him to the list.
Two more names from the Herald, and we've talked about them a lot, but details on them.
Mm-hmm.
Both Callahan and Kide write, the Patriots plan to pursue Cincinnati's T. Higgins until it was reported last week. The Bengals are expected to retain him via the franchise tag for the second straight year. League sources universally do not see Higgins as being available right now.
I'm surprised.
You disagree with that?
I really do. I mean, I don't know what this is based on. So the Cincinnati Bengals, who are one of the cheapest organizations in franchise,
they have to tag them
in league history.
They have to tag them by tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Tuesday's the
tomorrow at like 4 o'clock, something like that. They have to tag him, or else he is going to be available.
So they finished dead last in that survey in freshness of the food. They have the worst food in the league.
Yeah, they finished ahead of the Patriots overall in the survey, but for food specifically, they finished dead last.
But they finished not great.
They didn't even give their players 3 meals a day.
No. For a team that was in the Super Bowl just a couple of years ago, and there's always those great clips on practice day where they have to like cross a street to get over to practice. So the Cincinnati Bengals are famously
a cheap
organization.
They were selling when they replaced the TVs in their stadium, in like the suites and whatever, the locker room and everything else, they were selling those televisions to fans.
For real.
In Cincinnati.
It's a real story.
To make some money back.
Correct. So they just paid Joe Burrow.
Yep.
They're going to be forced to pay Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to be the highest paid wide receiver. He's going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of football.
And supposedly those negotiations aren't going well. You know why?
Shocking.
Because he wants $40 million a year. Yeah. And they're like, ugh.
I think eventually
Duke Tobin came out and said they're going to do it. He's in charge of their personnel. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
He's in charge of their personnel. I'm sure Duke Tobin's like, well, yeah, I know what it's going to take. We're going to have to make him the highest non-paid quarterback in the league. And then you run it upstairs to Brown, and he's like, yeah, we're not $40 million a year.
So maybe that doesn't even happen. I think it does. So I think they go insane on Ja'Marr Chase. Not even insane. I just think it's going to be a big number. He's worth it. I bet they signed Trey Hendrickson before they signed T. Higgins.
So this was a note they had in the Herald that I think it was them. Oh, maybe that was Giardi. I forget now. Somebody had a note over the weekend that they are I think it was Giardi, actually. They're prioritizing Higgins over Hendrickson, but that's just his reporting.
So that would be interesting because you had a really good offense last year and you still missed the playoffs. And so just bringing back the same offense, like, what does that do for you? Like, we're going to do more offense. Like, well, you guys need to do some defense.
The other way to look at it, though, would be, yeah, let's just keep the offense the same and try to fix the defense.
If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly philosophy.
Related story, by the way, they released an offensive lineman today. Alex Kappa, I think his name is. To save some money against the cap.
They brought him in a couple years ago, right after their offensive line was so bad.
So maybe that's the beginning of freeing up money to pay Chase and Hendrickson and Higgins.
I don't see how that organization does it. And maybe they tag T. Higgins. I could see them still tagging T. Higgins. They need to see how this goes.
A T-tag, as many. It was trending a few weeks ago. Yeah,
I don't think too many have caught on to that. But, like, this, similar to your Bruins analogy a second ago, we're talking about Brandon Ayuk. You know, they didn't have Swayman locked up, and they traded Ullmark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have Chase locked up yet, so you're not going to just, like, let T. Higgins go.
Fair point.
You need to T-tag him, as some would say.
Many.
But I still think he's going to be gone. Like, even if they end up just franchising him, that's a ton of guaranteed money for 1 year, which they're going to have to, you know, set aside. That's where the trade comes in, and that's where, all right, now you have to really love T. Higgins because you're not just paying him. You're also going to have to give up a big pick.
Note on DK Metcalf as well, who's the top receiver for me this offseason, even more so than Higgins. Even if Higgins were not tagged and you could just sign him as a free agent, I would attach the draft pick to Metcalf and rip it up and pay him a new contract because I think he's a superior player. Patriots prefer signing Higgins or Godwin over a trade for another number one receiver like Ayuk or maybe Pickens or Metcalf for the simple fact they would rather sign someone into their nearly $128 million worth of cap space instead of surrendering draft capital in a deal and significant cap space on top of it. Because the reason Metcalf is going to be out of Seattle is he probably wants a new deal and you're going to have to pay him. You're not going to get him on this contract. The Herald continues, the front office has nonetheless kicked the tires on a potential trade for Seattle's DK Metcalf per source. While it weighs the ripple effects of making a player they're not familiar with, like Metcalf, the new highest paid player on the team. So that line I don't like. If that's specifically about Metcalf and they're hearing things personality-wise or about his makeup where maybe he wouldn't be a good fit, fine. But when they say they're weighing the ripple effects of making a player they're not familiar with the new highest paid player on the team.
You're going to piss off Jelani Tavai?
They better be doing that this offseason. Like, they better be bringing in players they're not necessarily familiar with and making them the highest paid player on the team, or else you're running it back with your crappy team.
Wouldn't the guys on the team be more annoyed if you didn't do this? And if they're not, they're part of the problem. If they're like, hey, we have it covered. We don't need any of these guys. Hey, you're going to pay that guy? Yeah, that guy may have done something in the league. You guys are back-to-back four-win seasons. So who's going to stand in there and be like, how is that guy coming and getting a bigger deal? That's how the league works, right? That guy is now available, and if they were doing something good in the league, then they're going to get prioritized, and they're going to sign a big contract. If they bring in somebody, was that what happened last year? Elliot Wolf's like, hey, we don't want to send a ripple through the locker room, so we're just going to re-sign all of our own guys.
Maybe.
Be like, you guys earned it. It's like,
all
no.
Three guys that are making double-digit millions are going to be really upset.
Yeah. Right, seriously. Yeah, how many guys do they even
Barmore
have?
Barmore, Onwenu, Duggar.
Somebody, they better bring in somebody higher paid than those guys. They better.
That kind of sums it. So the three highest paid guys on the team are a right guard, a D tackle who unfortunately is injured or has health concerns, and a big safety.
That's just by AAV, but yeah.
No, but that's fine.
Yeah, let's go. That's good.
Those are the three highest paid guys.
Yep.
A guard, a safety who can't cover anybody. And a oft-injured D-tackle.
Drake May is the fourth highest-paid player, and he was a first.
Really?
Pick. That's why. That's why it's slotted that
way. Wow.
Yeah, but even still, the money's not where it used to be.
Where's Ramondre? He's high on that list,
just
too, isn't
he? Just below May by $600,000.
So a running back on there, too. So quarterback they have nailed. The other top five, you're like, what are you doing?
They, I mean, they really should have three guys coming in making more than all those guys.
So if that's specifically about Metcalf, I'll stand down. But the way it's written,
that's weird.
They're worried about ripple effects of making somebody they don't know the highest paid player on the team, which unless to your
point... Well, then get to know them quickly and then pay them.
Or unless they're Vrabel guys like A.J. Brown or Jeffrey Simmons or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I understand what you're saying.
That's something.
That I didn't love. A couple more items just real quick from the Herald story.
Yeah, they ripped the lid off of it.
Multiple sources doubt Jerod Mayo will return to coaching.
Whatever?
I mean, that's...
He's just done?
That's the way it's written.
So the guy got back into coaching so he could be a head coach, had one bad year, and he's done?
Out.
Well, maybe, you listen, you know what you're good at, you know what you're bad at, you just live your life.
Note on Robin Glazer, too.
Jeez, oh yeah, she was getting buried in this thing.
She was. Former executive VP of football business Robin Glazer has also gone from the Patriots and out of the league. Multiple sources told the Herald that Glazer tried to cut costs around the organization to ensure they were spending more effectively.
Okay.
They go on to rip her more.
Cost cutters.
But like, so now we're going to blame the Crafts cheaping out on stuff on Robin Glazer? Like, that's stupid.
I'm not going to buy that because they already blamed it on Belichick.
Right.
And then they had the exact same kind of offseason that they normally did under Belichick. So I'm not going to blame Bill for that, and I'm not going to blame Robin Glazer for that.
She might have been trying to cut costs.
That might be what they asked her to do.
Thank you. Because she was empowered by Robert and, more likely, Jonathan.
You think she woke up one day and was like, I'm going to try to save us a bunch of money?
Seriously.
I don't think so.
It's like, no. They commissioned her to do that or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she was just attempting to do her job. Not well. But like the idea that she was just cutting costs on her own, like, come on, let's come off that one. So those are a couple other minor notes you can jump in on. 617-779-7937. You can still vote Jones and Keefe, Twitter and Instagram, the Jones and Keefe bracket. Four topics for you there, which will be the topic for our March Madness bracket. We'll unveil that tomorrow.
It is razor thin.
It is.
Your vote really does matter. I know, like Jones said, it always matters. This time it actually matters.
Vote or die, people, is what you need to do because you do not want to see your topic lose out. Mm-hmm. We'll unveil that tomorrow. Vote now at Jones and Keefe. And on the way next, Keefe was watching everything this weekend.
What a weekend for me.
The Elimination Chamber, the Oscars. We have a full breakdown coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
What a weekend. Holy smokes. You had WWE's Elimination Chamber on Saturday night, followed by the 97th Academy Awards on Sunday night. Both, I'll tell you what, I don't know when this started. These 7 o'clock start times are great for us on the East Coast, but they sneak up on you, and I'm not ready for it. Everything's always started at 8. Wrestling, Oscars, other award shows, sometimes even 9. 7 o'clock start.
My wife had to tell me I thought it was starting at 8. She goes, "Hey, the Oscars are about to start." I go, "No, they're supposed to start at 8." We looked at the guide and I'm like, "Oh, thing starts in like 5 minutes." So
Oscars
good for us.
Starting at 7 o'clock. Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Nice little cold open with the they had the ladies from Wicked performed. Mm-hmm. And brought the house down.
I mean,
people love that.
I want to mock it because they've been everywhere for months.
Yeah.
But that was a good performance last night.
Neither took home a little golden statue.
Nope.
Didn't happen for them. Anora was the big winner. Anora, which is really like a sex comedy. There's some tension. So somebody described it to me as this. You have not seen Anora.
I've not seen it.
Most people have it. That's the thing. Most of these movies, with the exception of Dune and Wicked, like nobody saw it.
I was 0-10 on Best Picture this year. Yeah,
I was 8-10.
Nice,
but I like I like this stuff. Yeah. I'm in on this stuff. So Anora, it's sort of like Pretty Woman meets Uncut Gems. It was a great description I heard of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But way more nudité.
Lot of nudité, from what I've heard.
Nudité and cussing.
Okay.
A lot of swearing. I think Conan O'Brien even had a joke about how they said the F word like 467 times or whatever. Yeah. And then he made fun of the actress from Emilia Perez, which was under some hot water.
Yeah, the PR person had more F-bombs. Yeah.
So Emilia Perez was like the favorite to win all these awards, get nominated a million times, like whatever it was, 2 months ago. And since then, there's been a lot of backlash for the actress herself. They dug up some old tweets, which apparently were not well-received. And then there's also just sort of how certain communities view the movie. I mentioned last week how it's a Mexican movie, but the people who made the movie are French. There's also a transgender person in the movie, so that's obviously pretty polarizing on how that was depicted. So it got nominated for all these awards. It won one. I think it won song too, but it didn't win any of the major ones with the exception of supporting actress.
Yeah.
And Zoe Saldana, I like a lot. She plays Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy. But
dude, her acceptance speeches are tough.
Hard watch.
So it was
hard watch.
It was bad at the Golden Globes.
Yes.
And then it was bad again last night.
I can't stand it. I love movies. I love all this stuff. But you play pretend. You get to go up there and play pretend. It's not as serious as you make it out to be.
No.
The tears, the this, that, and the other thing, it's way too obnoxious. So I get why people make fun of it. But Anora was the massive winner. Sean Baker is the director. He edits the thing. He wrote the thing. He won awards for all that. And Mikey Madison beat out Demi Moore for Best Actress. I think both were deserving, but Mikey Madison wins it. She also becomes, this is important, the first Ghostface killer from a Scream movie to win an Oscar.
Oh, you know what? Because I didn't realize she was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. They mentioned that during the show last night. So I checked her IMDb. I saw she was in one of the Scream remakes.
Yes, she was in Scream. I think they just called it Scream. It was technically Scream 5.
Honestly, her role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood probably gave away that she was a killer in Scream.
Maybe. Sean Baker said last night if it wasn't for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there would be no Anora.
Correct.
He saw that movie, saw her in it, then cast her.
Hang on, but real quick.
Anora.
The order of the Scream movies goes Scream, Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4, Scream?
Scream 6.
Yep, and Scream 7.
Yeah.
All right, that's confusing.
So it was a long layoff, and so it was what they call a requel. So it was like both a reboot and a sequel.
They were making fun of the other movies that had already done that. Yeah. Like Halloween did it twice.
But us fans called Scream 5.
Got it.
We know. We call it
Scream hardcore
5.
Fans. Yeah. Okay.
Adrian Brody won Best Actor. He went on to have a 5-minute and 40-second acceptance speech, which is the longest speech in Oscars history.
Really?
There's never been a...
felt long. I'm shocked it's the longest one in Oscars history, it went on and on, for
someone
sure.
Named Greer Garson had a 5.5-minute speech, which was, prior to that, the longest. Yeah, they told him to stop playing the music.
He's like, nope.
It should have been Timothée Chalamet. So both movies I didn't really love. I thought the Bob Dylan movie was better than The Brutalist. And Chalamet was sitting front row with his girlfriend, Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, she was noticeable.
She was definitely noticeable. They showed her a few times.
Yep.
That was pretty much the award show. Conan O'Brien, I thought, was fine. Kind of a safe host.
Fine to me is the right word for it. I laughed a couple of times, but fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not bad. Didn't bomb, but fine.
So he's not Ricky Gervais, where he's making everybody uncomfortable, but he's like, I guess, willing to mention certain things where he's not over the top.
Yeah.
You mentioned regular people might enjoy watching him.
Right. You mentioned the text from Emilia Perez.
Yeah.
He had the firefighters in LA up telling some jokes, which I thought was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, Boom Rosa, Joker 2. Adam Sandler showed up.
That was good. But overall, Conan was fine. I like Conan, but he was fine.
I do like the 7 o'clock start time because the thing was over around 10:30.
Nice.
So even if it goes long, it's 10:30. But Jones, this really pales in comparison to the events of the Elimination
Chamber. We buried the lead.
This thing still got the people talking, and the road to WrestleMania is more than heating up. So Elimination Chamber, you had like four matches, two chambers, and really it all came down to the men's Elimination Chamber, which was the final event. Mm-hmm. Six men enter, only one will leave as the victor. John Cena, in his final Elimination Chamber, got the win. So he defeats everybody else.
Which you guys saw coming. Billy predicted this last week. You saw, like, I think you guys saw that part of it coming.
Yeah, because he didn't win the Royal Rumble, which a lot of us thought he might win the Royal Rumble, and then he gets to, you know, have a main event at WrestleMania. It's his last WrestleMania. He's not going to be on the pre-show, right? He's gonna be in there. He's going to go for the title. So he wins this thing, but that's not where the night did not end there, right?
No.
So there's been this storyline going where Cody Rhodes is the champion and The Rock, those guys feuded last year. The Rock is also, in real life, a member of the board of the TKO Studios, which owns WWE now. So he like legitimately is like one of like the bosses, right?
Okay.
So he has this weird whole gimmick where he wants Cody to be his champion, right? And he's like, I want your soul. Like he went that far. He legit wants his soul.
I like that.
But Cody's a face.
It's like a Nightman.
He's a face, not a heel.
Okay.
So he had to think about it. He's like, yeah, I need your answer at Elimination Chamber. So after the match, John Cena's in the ring. He has just won the match. Cody Rhodes comes out just because, like, they're going to, you know, those are going to be the two that meet. Kind of odd, right? Both are good guys. So they're going to meet at WrestleMania. So then The Rock's music hits. Rock comes out with, for no reason, Travis Scott.
Okay.
Entertainer Travis Scott.
Sure.
Smoking what appears to be a marijuana cigarette the entire time.
Okay.
He's got like a blunt. He's like in the ring and The Rock's talking, Cena's talking, Cody's talking. They're all taking turns talking. He's like in the corner, like waving around this blunt. Pat McAfee goes, I think Travis Scott's saging the ring. That's what he says. That made no sense. I don't know why he was there. He's obviously famous, but like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
So then The Rock's like, hey, I need your answer. And Cody's like, you can go bleep yourself, but did not bleep himself.
Oh.
He said it.
Wow.
A hard F.
He went there.
Yeah. On Peacock, they let it fly.
Nice.
And so you're like, all right, that's odd.
Drugs and curse words.
But then John Cena and Cody Rhodes embrace. And The Rock looks at John Cena, locks eyes with John Cena, who at this point has been a good guy his entire wrestling career, spanning decades. The Rock looks at him, gives him the slit throat gesture.
Throat slash.
To which John Cena backs away from Cody Rhodes, kicks him in the testicles.
Whoa.
Thus turning heel for the first time in his career.
Wow. A testy kick.
Prior to that, right after that, they want to do some work to Cody Rhodes, right? They want to beat him down a little bit, soften him up, whatever you want to call it, right?
Sure.
Stretch him out.
Yeah.
So John Cena's at his feet, and he's kind of stretching him out. He's laid down on the ground. Travis Scott, again, I don't know why he's there. He grabs the face of Cody Rhodes, kind of lifts him up. So he looks almost like a walrus or a seal.
Yeah.
To which point, John Cena has to push him back down because that was not part of the plan, Travis Scott. Travis Scott's high as a kite. He can't remember what he's supposed to be doing. So they finally stretch him out. Rock and Cena are looking at Travis Scott like, what are you doing? You know what Travis Scott does?
What's that?
Punches Cody Rhodes in the face.
Oh, man.
Like, legit punches him in the face.
Man.
I don't know what's going on with this guy.
I should have been watching this.
He shouldn't be there. Yeah, they potatoes him. Just bam, punches him in the face. I think maybe we're going for like a working punch. He went with like a live round.
Not a working punch.
So then they beat him up a little bit more. John Cena's hitting him with the belt. People can't believe it. There's reaction videos all over the world. First time ever John Cena is a heel. Travis Scott's there. No idea why. But now the road to WrestleMania is heating up. So we're going to get Cena, Cody Rhodes. Cena's a bad guy.
Okay. Already I'm seeing We Need a Jones and Keith WrestleMania Watch Party.
Yes.
The closing chamber segment should have won an Oscar.
It should have. John Cena, I felt, was robbed. He didn't get nominated for Ricky Stenicki, and he could have been. Can you imagine if he took home an Oscar and won Elimination Chamber the same weekend?
No, I mean,
nobody's doing that.
People can EGOT, but yeah. Can't
do that.
Whatever that.
E-Chamber Oscar?
Acronym that would be.
ECO.
Yeah, an ECO.
The ECO.
Yeah, he can't necessarily ECO. It's really actually easier than
that. Wait a minute, he won the Elimination Chamber and the Oscar? Although Dave Bautista probably could. He's a good actor.
I saw him on the red carpet yesterday.
He's in Dune. He's in the Dunes.
Here we go. Brilliant tease, Jones. I stayed in my work truck for Elimination Chamber talk. I could have knocked out another stop if I knew you were going to slip in the Oscars.
Sorry. Well, you can all blame part of the big weekend.
You can blame Keith for that.
I apologize for nothing.
I gave Keith carte blanche to talk about whatever he wanted. He chose to go Oscars first.
I went first because I wanted to save the best for last.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be anticlimactic. And it was. That's how they ended the Elimination Chamber. Also, Owens and Zayn had another great match. That was prior in the night. But, yeah, this whole John Cena heel turn thing is getting the people fired up.
So what happens at WrestleMania, Billy? What happens?
Cena wins.
Cena wins. He goes out on top as a heel?
Well, no, he'll end WrestleMania. Like, he won't end the year, which is his final year.
Yeah, he's doing the year, like, so I think he's going to keep going.
His career's not going to end with him as a bad guy.
Got it.
Yeah. But he'll win the belt as a bad guy.
They got to get the belt off Cody. It's kind of boring having a good guy as the champ. It just is. Like, yeah. It's all about the chase. Once you win it, it's like, all right, how much longer are you going to have this for unless you decide to
turn? You've got to get the people going.
So people are surprised by the Cena turn, and I guess ultimately I'm surprised by it too, but the second Cody told The Rock to go bleep himself, you kind of had to expect it because there's no way you're going to really build like good guy versus good guy for the next month, right? Like they have to have some sort of conflict. So as soon as that happened, you're like, oh, Cena's going to turn.
Nice.
And he did.
So what a weekend.
Sure was.
Cena robbed of echoing.
Yep.
But short of that, what a weekend. Keefe recapped it for you there. A reminder, you can vote at Jones and Keefe for our March Madness bracket. Four topics for you to vote. And your vote matters because right now it's a three-horse race out of the four options. We'll announce the winner tomorrow. And we'll get to the Red Sox. Spring training remains in full swing. When are we going to see the kids for the Red Sox? We'll get to that with all your phone calls next.